Thursday, October 31st, Halloween. Welcome on in to Studio 2. I'm Cherry Gregg.
And I'm Avi Wolfman Arendt.
Ooh, I like
that. You emphasize the Wolfman on Halloween.
You do.
Don't want to scare you. It is the end of October, Cherry.
I can't believe it.
Yeah, there you go. And
happened so fast.
I did want to bring in a archival tidbit to start the show today. This is from October 31st, 1870, the Philadelphia Inquirer. This is what they wrote about Halloween in 1870. Quote, Halloween will be celebrated as usual by noisy juveniles this evening. The less demonstrative ones will enjoy themselves around their firesides eating nuts. So that's what they were doing back in 1870.
Wow.
Some traditions we kept, the noisy juveniles.
Yes.
I don't know what happened to the eating nuts around the fireside.
Well, they cover them with chocolate now.
I don't know.
And they call them Snickers.
But no firesides.
No firesides. Now it's 80 degrees.
It's true. That's true. But I would like to bring back the tradition of eating some nuts on Halloween. That sounds like a great time.
I think you can totally do that.
You think I can bring that back?
You can bring that back. I mean, it might be too hot for a fire.
For a fire. This particular year. Yeah.
But yeah, you could totally do whatever. I mean, eating healthy on Halloween, you don't have to eat chocolate.
That's a flex.
You don't have to eat, you know, gummy bears.
Don't have to.
You could have cashews and peanuts.
Cashews. I like macadamia nuts.
Oh, okay.
So as you can tell by the tone we've established already, we're going to just kind of take a break from the political hamster wheel today and just talk about television, what's on television. Fall seasons are rolling out. It is a big time for TV, traditionally, at least. And our big question for you this hour, and we would really love to hear from you.
Yes.
What are you watching at the moment? What is your distraction at the moment in the world of television? It could be a new show. It could be an old favorite. It could be an old show that you're discovering for the first time. Give us a call. 888-477-9499. Email studio2@whyy.com.
I can't wait to hear from our listeners. You know, there's so much, there's so much TV. There's so many things you can watch because of streaming. And so I like getting people's recommendations. That's how I choose. So yeah.
I like one that's just out of the blue.
Yeah.
Never heard of it. It's
like,
on
what?
Like some service called like Peeboo or something like that. You have no idea what
it
is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And if y'all have some Tubi classics out there, let me know. That's some late night TV stuff, Avi. We'll talk about that later.
We are so off the rails today. Okay, so we also, because it's Thursday, we're asking for you to submit a song choice for the closing music today. You can be Studio 2's DJ of the day. How this goes, we want a song related to the theme of the show today. So it could be a song about television. It could be a TV show theme song that you really like. You have to please producer Paige. She picks her favorite one.
She
it's
does.
Not it's not the most popular one necessarily. It's just the one that producer Paige likes. So submit your song suggestions to
putting a lot on producer Paige right there.
To studio2@whyy.org. Studio2@whyy.org. You got to get it in before 12:30 to be considered for our Studio 2 DJ of the day. So get those in.
Yeah, and we have a trio of news stories now.
Yeah.
And NPR stole our thunder for our top news story. And you probably heard, there's some people who probably just tuned in, right?
Yeah, sure.
Moments ago, a legal clash between Philly DA Larry Krasner and billionaire Elon Musk over that $1 million voter giveaway, well, it's been put on hold. If you didn't know, Krasner had sued Musk alleging that this giveaway was an illegal lottery. Now, Musk announced earlier this month that his PAC, America PAC, would be giving away $1 million a day until Election Day to someone in swing states who signed their petition to support free speech and the right to bear arms. And he's actually given out $1 million in Pennsylvania since that time. And so a lot of folks have been questioning this, including D.A. Krasner, who sued, but Elon Musk didn't show up today before a Philly judge. And their lawyers say that this is a federal matter. And so now they're seeking to move it to federal court. Jeremy Roebuck from the Philadelphia Inquirer, who's been covering this story, tweeted that the case has landed before U.S. District Judge Gerald Papert, a former Republican Pennsylvania attorney general and an Obama appointee to the federal bench. So we don't know what's going to happen, but Krasner has said, look, this giveaway needs to be halted immediately and definitely before Election Day. Now, of course, there's this delay.
We need a lawsuit tracker. Someone needs to start a lawsuit tracker. It's hard to keep track of all this stuff, but we'll try to keep our eye on this one as it evolves. Also in the world of politics, we learned recently that Kamala Harris will make her closing case to voters in Philadelphia. Citing a source, the Inquirer says Harris will hold a rally here in Philly on Monday night, the night before the election. It will be on the steps of the Art Museum, an iconic backdrop. Mm-hmm. Some shades of 2016 here. Maybe Dems don't want to hear that. Hillary Clinton held her Election Eve rally in Philadelphia that year at Independence Mall. It featured Bon Jovi, Bruce Springsteen, Barack Obama, and more. We don't exactly know where Trump will be on Monday. We did think he was going to be in Happy Valley, Pennsylvania, on Saturday for that big Penn State-Ohio State football game, but the university says that's been called off. So Trump, it does not appear, will be attending that game in Pennsylvania on Saturday. And by the way, just to add to all of this, Vice President Tim Walz is in Bristol, Pennsylvania, right now in Bucks County, talking to voters and making an economic pitch in Bristol, a town that we visited recently because it is a purpley part of a purpley county.
I mean, and you know, Avi, we've talked about this. A big part of the Harris strategy is to drive up the vote in Philadelphia. You know, there have been all these celebrities coming here. They're rolling out the big dogs right now to get as many people voting as possible. And so it kind of makes sense that because Pennsylvania is such a critical state, because turnout in Philadelphia is so important, that they do that here. And I just think, you know, it's kind of cool to have a rally where they do Made in America. Well, they used to do Made in America.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if any celebrities join Kamala Harris at this particular rally on the Art Museum steps. And I did mention the shades of 2016, but if you're looking for maybe signs of positive momentum, if you're a Democrat, I will say that this is a much larger venue, which means they expect, I would imagine, a much larger crowd. And consistently, Kamala Harris has been turning out huge crowds. And we also see this in polling data. Gallup tracks voter enthusiasm. And for Democrats, it's really high right now. In fact, it's a little higher even than 2008, according to Gallup. Republicans, pretty enthusiastic too, but there is a gap. And I think we have seen that in some of these crowd sizes. We'll see what happens on Monday. But that space can hold a lot of people.
We've been there.
So, you know, that's where they have like the Eagles victory parade and big stuff, Made in America. They're going big Monday night in Philly.
Yeah.
And look, this is just citing a source, no confirmation yet from the campaign as far as I know. But it does look like we are trending toward a big Kamala Harris rally Monday night here in Philly.
Wow. So interesting. Thank you for that, Avi. So it's the end of an era. And I'll say that because several New Jersey publications, Avi, will soon cease printing newspapers. Instead, they'll opt to only publish online.
Wow.
Yeah. NJ Advanced Media announced that it will stop doing the print editions of four local papers. It's the largest of the four is the Newark Star Ledger, which has roots dating back to the 1830s. It's New Jersey's largest paper. The Times of Trenton, the South Jersey Times, and the Hunterdon County Democrat are also ceasing print publication. NJ.com will remain. And all of this is coming fast. And part of the reason they cited is that, you know, it's increased cost of printing, also decreased circulation, and just everybody's sort of moving to digital now. People don't need the hard copy newspapers anymore. And so they're making this pivot and this shift. And they'll just be, you know, going only online. And by the way, these changes are coming pretty fast. The last print edition of the Star Ledger, the Times of Trenton, and the South Jersey Times will be February 2nd of 2025. That's only a few months away.
Mind-boggling. Not surprising, but still mind-boggling to think that the Newark Star Ledger, which is just an iconic newspaper, will no longer be printed. Some stats for you. And these are not fun stats to read, but according to the New Jersey Globe in 2023, the Star Ledger reported average print daily sales of 34,000. 8 years prior, it was 110,000.
Wow.
So 110,000 to 34,000 in just 8 years. Not sustainable, obviously. You mentioned NJ.com, which is the website that houses the reporting of these papers, will remain. The print editions will not.
And by the way, I should say that the online editions had more content than the print editions. But I asked myself, when was the last time I had a hard copy paper? And it's been a few years. I do everything online now. So,
including watching your television programs.
I do. And coming up, we're going to talk about TV shows with one of our favorite critics. So give us a call. We want to know, what are you currently watching? The number is 888-477-9499. You can also email studio2@whyy.org. We'll be right back. Stick with us.
I've been really enjoying Ridley. My husband and I watch a lot of BritBox. We find it really fun, great, compelling characters.
There's a few shows that we've just finished. Only Murders in the Building, Slow Horses.
The Penguin on HBO Max.
I'm streaming WHYY. I really like Wolf Hall.
Seinfeld reruns. I think it did a lot to inform my sense of humor, and I'm relying on the classics now.
This is Studio 2. Welcome back. I'm Cherry Gregg.
And I'm Avi Wolf-Manarant. You just heard there from Ellen, Tom, Olivia, Annie, and Nathan, who spent their afternoon yesterday in Rittenhouse Square talking to our producer, Andreas. During this stressful election season, streaming a compelling TV series can be a great escape. You can lose yourself in a breezy rom-com, a medical drama, dark superhero spinoff, or a spy thriller. But there's so much out there. It is hard to keep track of the good stuff.
It is. And that's why we've called in an expert. You know how we do at Studio 2. And she devotes her life to sorting through the hundreds of offerings on the various platforms, from the streaming services to the old-fashioned broadcast TV. We have Melanie McFarland, senior critic at Salon. Welcome back, Melanie.
Thanks for having me. Happy Halloween.
Yeah, happy Halloween to you, too. So we have callers on the line, and I want to bring them in just a second, but... You know, growing up, I used to be so looking forward to the fall TV primetime lineup. You know, when you go back to school, you get back to serious work. And now it feels like I can't really keep up. I don't know, you know, what's happening. Not everything starts in the fall anymore. Can you just tell me what has changed about the fall lineup?
Well, in a word, streaming.
Yeah.
Really, TV is now a year-round concern, right? I got to say, you know, it's been fall TV. There's been the question of whether the fall TV season exists for some time. The answer is that at least for the foreseeable future, you know, exist for broadcast television. But when, you know, HBO and other cable networks began holding things until January and then launching their large shows, then mid-season became more of a, you know, that became more of more antiquated. But now with Netflix is just launching shows, both shows that they make in the United States, but also internationally every single week.
Yeah.
So there is still a fall season. I think that there's always going to be that tradition. And certainly, you know, the cycle is, you know, is really just baked into our viewing habits. But yeah, it's year round now.
Year-round TV.
Oh, sounds like a utopia. We want to hear your best ofs. If you're listening right now, what are you watching? What's your favorite drama, comedy, reality TV show? Email us, studio2@whyy.org, or call 888-477-9499. And it doesn't have to be a new show.
No,
we just
want
to know
no.
what you're vibing on right now. And here's a caller, Molly Cherry Hill on line one. Wants to talk TV. Molly, you're on Studio 2. What do you got for us?
Hi, Cherry. Hi, Avi. I hope
Hello.
You guys are well today.
We are. Thank you.
So I think by far the best is PBS Passport.
Oh.
Hands down. It is phenomenal. Just like they have Masterpiece, I think a lot of people are very familiar with the shows that Masterpiece shows. There is also a series by Walter Presents,
oh.
and they are all foreign. Most of them are European, but they from other parts around the world as well. And they do outstanding. I particularly happen to like detective shows, and they do amazing detective shows. German and French are just above and beyond anything that I've seen made in this country. Just my opinion, but they are really exceptional. And plus, you get a chance to see like other cultures, the way other people live, things of that nature.
All right.
So that's it for me. I won't keep you, but that was just my take.
Thank you, Molly.
That's the way to lead it off, by the way.
And by the way, we did not know she was going to say that.
I didn't know that. Okay, Melanie McFarland, do you watch anything from public television? Be honest.
Oh, my goodness, yes. Okay. Actually, one of the things I was going to say when she said PBS Passport, that just my heart just warmed a little bit.
Mm.
Especially right now, if you're experiencing high anxiety, there's so many different series on there. And she's right. You can see series from all over the world. One of them that I enjoy, going back to Masterpiece, because yes, there are so many different Masterpiece shows on there. If you want to have just a wonderful experience where you can just sink into a beautiful, ideal world that still addresses the concerns of life, the newest version of All Creatures Great and Small is so wonderful. The characters are, the performances are stunning. The landscapes are beautiful. And, you know, it's still not this, it's not a utopia. It drops into Britain and in pre-war. So, but it's still, every single time it opens, it's always lambing season. You get to see all these wonderful, you know, you get to see all these characters and you get to see lots of beautiful, you know, beautiful animal. The way they have relationship with the animals is just such a treat to watch and so calming. It's just soothing to the nervous system.
We started a radio program and a pledge drive broke out. I love it.
I know. It was not intentional at all. I want to start right off with the show that I've been watching right now, and I'm going to play a clip. This is from the first episode of The Penguin. Colin Farrell is talking about a neighborhood mobster he looked up to as a teenager. We'll talk about the show right after this.
When I'm 14 or something, he has a heart attack and dies. Still holding a cigar. In my neighborhood, they throw a parade in his honor. A friggin' parade. I mean, it wasn't fancy, but it was a gesture. To show love of what he meant. Can you imagine to be remembered like that? Revered.
That is such a memorable scene. Melanie, I love this show. And there are other people like Matthew who says, after being burned out on comic shows, after hearing a review on WHYY, I decided to check out The Penguin on HBO. And so I want you to talk about the show a little bit, Melanie. I love it. I don't know if you love it, but there are others who love it too. Can you tell us about the show?
This show proves that you can take a comic book title and make it a legitimately thoughtful prestige drama. And it's not just because Colin Farrell is attached. I would actually say, yes, his performance is wonderful. The breakout here is Kristen Milioti as Sophia Falcone.
Mm-hmm.
If you know the legend of Batman, and most people, Batman has been, you know, I think I'm pretty sure it has been the most made and remade title in cinema. And that character has been recycled through so many actors, right? But here is an opportunity that that the producers took, which is to take a character from that universe that's usually seen as very kind of cartoonish, that isn't the Joker, and actually make him a realistic kind of grubby, you know, scratching his way up from the bottom of the criminal underworld, make it realistic, but also at the same time, not necessarily make him the most likable guy. I won't say where it goes, but I think it's one of those series that it surprised me from the beginning and has just fascinated me the way that it has taken these characters that, and including, like I said, Kristen Milioti, her character is not necessarily one that people know, because she was relatively, Sofia Falcone was introduced relatively recently in the Batman universe. Mm-hmm. But taking her trajectory and making it parallel to Colin Farrell's Penguin has just been a stroke of brilliance. And just the way that performance is all through the eyes. I actually wrote about it, especially right now. It's mm-hmm. it's one of the probably one of the best things on television.
Wow. Yeah. And by the way, my entire that's one of the few shows where everybody in the house will sit down and wait. It's like you it drops on Sundays. You wait till it comes and you yep. and you watch it. It's that good. By the way, John says The Penguin is my current favorite show. The writing is brilliant. And I still can't see Colin Farrell under all that makeup. He has he's transformed in that. Yeah. Yeah.
By the way, Kristen Milioti from Cherry Hill, New Jersey. We got to point that out. Mm-hmm. Let's get another favorite in here and see how our critic responds. Jamie says, Nobody Wants This on Netflix was a big standout show for me recently. A really fun and heartfelt rom-com series. And just in case you don't know about Nobody Wants This, it's a romantic comedy starring Kristen Bell and Adam Brody. Bell is a podcaster. That's relatable. And Brody is a rabbi, and I guess they fall in love. Melanie McFarlane, what do you think about this? That's some big star power, by the way. What do you think about Nobody Wants This on Netflix in its first season, by the way?
Yeah, this is an entire feel-good title. Everybody that I know is saying, like, okay, it's light. There's a lot of great chemistry going on. I think really this is a, if you think about Netflix, there's a lot of jokes about what the algorithm wants. You've seen it through a many different shows. I'm going to drop a title like Barry made a joke about the algorithm. If you've seen that on HBO, but this one, if you look at it, it's like it actually has some good writing and good casting, but it really is this wonderful combination of chemistry between Kristen Bell and Adam Brody. And part of that is calling on their nostalgia from other shows. Like, everybody loved Adam Brody in The OC, and everybody loved Kristen Bell. You know, so bringing these two people together in these performances, I think it was like, okay, I feel like this was a show that was made for them, but also it's, you know, it's legitimately very funny and very sweet. And I think, again, if you're looking for something that's feel good and an easy watch, this is definitely it.
Yeah. I want to talk about another show that kind of brings stars known in movies to the small screen, Only Murders in the Building. It's a Hulu series that stars Steve Martin, Martin Short, and Selena Gomez. Pretty, pretty good. I've seen a few episodes. In the opening of season 4 of Only Murders in the Building, the team needs to brainstorm for their true crime podcast. Take a listen.
So what's next podcast-wise? Charles, you mentioned a cold case.
Oh, please. If it was interesting, it wouldn't be cold. Now, what we need is a hot, fresh, dead body, preferably right here or very near to here.
It's true. We've been very lucky with people dying in our building.
Yeah, but it is kind of a flaw in our business model.
These true crime lovers go on their own little adventure. And by the way, shout out to David B. and Cooley, the Fresh Air TV news critic, loves the show. Can you tell us, Melanie, about the show and why it's sort of been building this following?
Sure. Well, you know, it's kind of this wonderful mixture of two great tastes. And I know that there are the main characters are three of them. But if you think about Steve Martin, Martin Short, this is a partnership that they've had, you know, on the road for quite some time. And then bringing in Selena Gomez was this unexpected pairing between this duo. And also it's intergenerational, I think, their appeal. But they work together incredibly well. And it's not just about Selena Gomez kind of fitting in with the two of them. It's the fact that she is her own, she brings in her own personality as Mabel, and, you know, becomes kind of the straight man to the two of them. So this entire series takes this sense of this universal love of podcasts and true crime, and then brings in these unexpected figures. I will say the latest season was my least favorite.
What? That's it. Major one.
Yeah. I will say that. I think that there's so the latest season, you know, just to give an overview, it kind of brought them to Hollywood mm-hmm. because Hollywood has come to them, found out about the podcast, wants to make a movie based on the podcast. And then you also, so not only did we have Meryl Streep joining last season, you now have Eugene Levy and Eva Longoria and Zach Galifianakis. And then we had other characters, other, you know, big names coming in as these side characters. It became almost a celebrity circus, in my opinion. Now, that doesn't mean that it isn't somehow enjoyable. It certainly was. I think that there are elements of a show that can get lost or diluted the more kind of outsized the ambitions become.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The and great thing about this. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, you know, you mentioned all the stars and you didn't even list all of them. I mean, Richard Kind is in it. Melissa mm-hmm. McCarthy, Jane Lynch, Davine Joy Randolph.
Yeah.
I was wondering, and I've seen prior seasons of this show, but I haven't seen the current season. I was like, is this a commentary or something? That just, there were so many stars. I was like wondering what their motivations were in larding the show up with all these stars.
Well, I will say Davine Joy has been there since the
start.
From
the beginning, that's
true. So I don't count her in that flood mm-hmm. at all. Mm-hmm. And if anything, I would love to see more of her, but I'd say that about her in general. Yeah, I mean, that was really the issue. I think that there is another actor that did not become a huge star before this is Michael Cyril Creighton as Howard Morris. He was one of the characters who they brought in since the beginning. And they wrote more to him in the previous two seasons. So the original charm, you have to evolve as a series. I recognize that. The mysteries become a little more, maybe not predictable, but a little more, you know, the outcome was a little like, oh, well, that's interesting, as opposed to, you know, shocking as right. they were in the first two seasons. So that said, I will say we're always hardest on the ones we love. Mm-hmm. I'm glad that it's coming back for a fifth season. The fourth recently wrapped, I believe, 2 days ago. So binge it.
Yeah. Yeah. Binge it. So we want to invite you listening at home. What are you watching? Join the conversation. What's your favorite drama, comedy, reality TV show? Let us know. You can call 888-477-9499 or email studio2@whyy.org. I will say this, Melanie, one of my other favorite shows is King of Tulsa with Sylvester Stallone on Amazon Prime. New season is out. I love the show. I think the slice is long. He still got it, you know, very good. But it made me think about, you know, all the folks who have been these big movie stars who are now jumping to the streaming shows, like, you know, Kevin Costner with Yellowstone, Forrest Whitaker with Godfather of Harlem, Reese Witherspoon jumped over. I mean, how has this has been sort of trending for a while. How has this changed how people watch? And then are there some other big shows involving big movie stars? We talked about a few that you're focusing on.
Sure. Well, one of them, I think, you know, that had great success on Netflix is Perfect Couple, which starred Nicole Kidman. Nicole Kidman is one of those figures who was an A-lister who has been popping up on TV and in streaming, basically playing the same character again and again. But I will say this, if you want to see her performance, taking a version of that performance, and I've got to say, the same character, what I mean is very wealthy, very pained woman, you know, basically her Big Little Lies character kind of recycled through different
titles. Plays that role so well.
Oh, she really does. She really does. I will say that the way that it's been, you know, we call it typecasting, right? That's what it is. But you can take something that people expect and turn it. And if you want to see a performance that she did this year, where she took that expectation and made it something better, I think, unexpected, Expats was a good series. So that's one. But I think that when we're talking about performances, she's a great example. A lot of movie stars now, you know, the theater business is struggling.
Yeah.
And if they want to have a performance where they're getting in front of people, where they're able to have a character they can spend more time with. Every single actor that I've spoken to has said, like, look, TV is where it's at because you get to see more of, you know, more nuances in their performance, spend more time with a character, you know, also, you know, have more of an opportunity to work. So that's a factor. That said, you know, there's certain actors who are not completely, but more devoted to staying in the theatrical space while doing the occasional TV show. So I don't think we're gonna see like George Clooney in anything more, you know, anything other than a limited series for a little while, but I could be wrong. Yeah.
Well, I'm done with the stars. Let's talk about a show featuring some regular people.
Regular degglers, yes.
Ray from Blackwood, New Jersey says, my recommendation is the current season of The Great British Baking Show. Woo-hoo. The bakers this year are a whole new level. Their personalities are so endearing. And Nora from Lansdale agrees. If you don't know this show, it's British, obviously. A bunch of bakers go to this lovely estate and they make the best food that they can make, and they get eliminated week by week, and at the end, someone is crowned champion. It's been on for a while. Let's play a clip from The Great British Baking Show as the bakers enter the tent for season 12.
Just 12 of Britain's best amateur bakers have made it to the tent.
This is an absolute dream. My mum told me not to cry. I cried 3 times yesterday, so...
Over the next 10 weeks, they're faced 30 brand new challenges.
Food is my love language. If I can make people happy, it's always with feeding them.
All right, Melanie, has the charm worn off? Are we still vibing on The Great British Baking Show?
You know, I don't think there's going to be, and I could be wrong, next season may prove me wrong, but The Great British Baking Show is one of those that keeps renewing itself every single season. Part of that is the, you know, you have these wonderful personalities in the bakers. Part of it is that these bakers are amateurs, but the skill level keeps increasing of the people who come in. And part of it is that there's this collegiality where if you go all the way back to when Project Runway was first introduced, there's something about having a reality competition that is skill based. And also celebrates artistry and process that I think is really extraordinary. I think one thing that the Great British Baking Show does is that it brings in this element of humor and it's less likely, I think, to create, at least in the United States, these cults of personality around, you know, a couple of issues. Now, there have been some of their winners that have gone on to have their own series. In fact, a number of them. But for instance, this season, there is this fascination around one of the younger bakers named Dylan. And part of it is that, you know, he has these looks where people are like, oh, he's like a baking Jason Momoa.
Yeah.
You know, which
he's a good looking guy.
Yeah.
He's a good looking guy, but he's also incredibly skilled in terms of his taste combinations. He has these very adventurous ways of flavoring his bakes. They look great. And baking, I think, is something that's very accessible for everybody, whether you love to eat or actually do it at home. So I think that's part of it too. So it's going to be a while, I think, before this one kind of, you know, loses its sheen.
Love that. I want to bring in another caller. We have Karen from Doylestown. Karen, you're
Hi.
On Studio 2. What's your favorite show? Tell us about it.
Okay, so the show I always go back to watch, regardless of any new sort of binging thing going on, is Sex and the City. I've just always enjoyed that show.
Woman of my heart, yes.
It's a guilty pleasure, and it's some kind of comfort in there as well.
Yes, and it's being introduced to a new generation, yes?
Correct, yes. They now you've graduated as well to just like that their new incarnation of their show as they've grown older. As people do, I hear. Yeah.
Thank you so much, Karen from Doylestown. I watched. I actually have the DVDs in that pink velvet case of all the episodes. I still have it, even though I don't have a DVD player. I just love it so much. It is one of my go-tos.
It takes you back.
Yeah, it takes me back. Also, I mean, and the reboot, and just like that, I wanted to ask you, Melanie, about reboots. You know. They keep bringing them back, right? Are there any new reboots besides? I know and Just Like That is in production for the third season, but are there any reboots that you're taking a look at?
So this isn't quite a reboot. It's more of kind of a, let's say, revival of a title, but not necessarily a character. Mm-hmm. And I am as surprised as you may be when I say this, Matlock on CBS is actually quite good. Wow.
This is the Kathy Bates version of Matlock, right?
The Kathy Bates version of Matlock, except it isn't the original. It isn't the Andy Griffith character. In fact, it references the Andy Griffith series. You know, the series exists within the Matlock universe, but she actually is like, Matlock, you know, remember like the show? And the whole thing is that, you know, the lawyers around her are so young, they're just like, what's a Matlock? So she makes these jokes. But yeah, I mean, it is very much, look, CBS has perfected the art of the network procedural, right? You kind of know what you're going to get. And she even makes, you know, part of the referencing to the original Matlock is that everybody knows that there's going to be a point within the case where it looks like Matlock is going to lose or the lawyers are going to lose, but then they turn it out and pull out a victory in the end. So there is that element of familiarity. And so to your question about revivals, that's why they are so popular. People recognize these characters. They may not necessarily, you know, glom on to, say, you know, these new versions of them, simply because sometimes, you know, something like Magnum P.I. might not be as successful, although it did run for 5 years or five seasons.
We got to go to a break, but we've got more coming up with Melanie McFarlane, senior critic for Salon. Keep sending in those shows, and we'll keep talking about them right here on Studio 2.
We watch Jeopardy and sometimes Wheel of Fortune.
Like HGTV, like house shows. I like the Food Network, just like really chill stuff.
Oh, I do like Dancing with the Stars. I love dance. So all of it excites me. I love dance.
Listeners, viewers, welcome back to Studio 2. I'm Avi Wolfman-Aaron.
And I'm Cherry Gregg. You just heard some reality TV suggestions from Philly residents Trish and Tom and Emma Line from Atlantic County in New Jersey. And we are talking about great TV shows to escape the hectic reality that we live in with Melanie McFarlane, senior critic at Salon.
And before we get back into our discussion, I'm going to invite you at home yet again to join us. What are you watching right now? Give us a recommendation. The number is 888-477-9499. And our email is studio2@whyy.org. We were just talking about old favorites before the break. And Tim from Cherry Hill says they like The West Wing. Reminds him of a time when politics weren't so divisive. We were trying to escape politics this hour, Tim, but we'll give you a pass. Let's bring in a caller now. This is line four. Jacqueline from Haynesport, New Jersey, has a recommendation for us. Jacqueline, you are on Studio 2. What do you got?
What I have is something that I discovered at the beginning of the pandemic, Call the Midwife. I don't know how I missed it until then, but I've seen all 13 seasons, and I find it to be one of the best done shows to deal with social issues that are even affecting us today. And it was set in the 50s and 60s, I think. And it is just doesn't have any great stars, but has wonderful, wonderful way to look at our social issues and deal with just about everything you have to deal with.
Call the Midwife.
Another great public television recommendation. Thanks, Jacqueline.
You're welcome.
That's a great recommendation. Mm-hmm. Should we get to some more, maybe like a newer one now?
Yes.
I want to get into this show called The Pradeeps of Pittsburgh.
Yes.
This is a comedy centered on an immigrant family who arrived in Pittsburgh 2 years ago, and they're telling the story of their arrival, sort of looking back to an investigator, I think, is looking into a crime. It's based on a true story. Let's hear a clip right now where one of the family members is in shock and unable to step onto the moving walkway in the airport after arriving in Pittsburgh. Let's hear it.
My eldest son was in shock. And my youngest, well, he's an optimistic doofus.
This is going to be great. A brand new life.
Kamal, do you have my gum? My ears still haven't popped. Kamal?
Such a weirdo. You should have left him in India.
Kamal!
I had to leap into action to save my baby. only I knew what he needed and exactly how many milligrams.
All right. The Pradeeps of Pittsburgh on Amazon Prime. I could see something like this being kind of formulaic, Melanie McFarland. Is it?
There's a little bit of formula in there, yes. However, I would say that at this point, in terms of if you're what you're expecting from a comedy, and by the way, the creator of Vijay Patel, this is kind of based on his family's immigrant experience, just in terms of an inspiration. The crime part is fantasy,
okay.
Or the implied crime, I should say. But I would say that. If you're looking for, again, we're talking about this whole idea of familiarity. There is this element that's told in the present where the Pradeeps are sitting in an interrogation room at Immigration and Naturalization before a couple of agents that are questioning them about a crime that's been committed. And they're going and telling their immigration experience and their experience of moving in into this Pittsburgh neighborhood. It's a story of their moving into Pittsburgh and, you know, introduction to American culture. But this is very much a tale of from the perspective of this new family. And, you know, it's a fish out of water story, which is also familiar. But these performances and the writing and the jokes and everything, they're just, the timing is wonderful. And also, this is the first time that I've seen Naveen Andrews in a role where he isn't being extremely serious.
Mm-hmm.
And you find out that he's, and Naveen Andrews, by the way, you'll recognize if you don't know his name, he's from Lost. It's just one of the smartest things that I've seen so far. And you can stream all of them.
Love it, love it, love it. And we want to invite you to participate in this conversation. What are you watching right now? Give us your recommendations. The number is 888-477-9499. Our email is studio2@whyy.org. I want to bring in another caller who's listening all the way from Norma, Illinois. We have Aaron on the line. Aaron, what's your recommendation?
Hello.
Thank you for listening from Illinois.
So I'm actually from Philly. I've lived out here. It's actually Normal, Illinois. Believe
Normal.
It or not.
Normal, Illinois.
Normal. Yep.
Well, it's irregular for us to get a call from Illinois, but we're so glad to have you. So you're a Philly native. You're listening to WHYY. Nice.
Love it. Love it. What's your recommendation?
Yes. So The Diplomat on Netflix.
All right.
The new season just dropped today, and I had tried to watch it before, couldn't get into the first episode. Friends told me, give another shot. I just finished the first season Monday night, and I cannot wait until the trick-or-treaters leave so that I can sit down and binge it.
I love it.
Get out of here, kids.
Thank you so much, Aaron.
That's great.
Philly native who is calling in from Normal, Illinois. We appreciate you. And we actually have a clip of this show. This is a preview of season 2 of The Diplomat, which comes out today. VP Grace Penn, played by Allison Janney, gives U.S. diplomat Kate Weiler, who's played by Kerry Russell, a lesson in what it truly means to look the part of a potential vice presidential candidate. Take a listen to this.
No one will read your policy papers. Best case, a soundbite will go viral once a year. So you've got a couple of choices. Wear a suit, like the military wears a uniform. Disappear. Hide the individual behind the duty to serve. Or get a gimmick. Blonde bob. Red lipstick. Pins like Albright. Collars like RBG. Glasses. A shorthand so people see what you stand for. And little girls dress like you for Halloween.
I like that clip. So, Melanie, tell us about the show. And clearly, it's Aaron loves it. So it must be a great show. Tell us about it.
Yeah. So you have Kerry Russell, who everybody knows from Felicity, right? Mm-hmm. She can do a million other roles. But she's always going to be associated with that. Completely flipping that on its head. I should also say, you know, people, you know, she changed that again in The American. So I will back up and say that. This role takes her energy and her comic timing, and it also puts it into this kind of furious dance with international diplomacy. Rufus Sewell is her husband. When she first arrives in Britain, they think that it's her husband who's the diplomat. So she has to actually, you know, gain their trust, gain their respect, which she does by the end of the first season. I can completely understand if people watch it and aren't quite sure what it is to start with, because it's also about a marriage where there's a power struggle. One of the funniest scenes actually shows them in an extended it's like knockdown fist fight at a beautiful British country estate.
Where they're having the British Bake Off right in the background.
They're having a little bake off there. But then, you know, it turns at the end of the season there. I won't go into it, but there is a significant international incident that was already brewing in terms of difficulties with Iran in the beginning. But it takes a turn. And then in the second season, there's some interesting resolutions involving Alice and Janney, which is one of the reasons that she's very, very much featured in season two.
Wow. And new episodes drop today.
Wow.
Yeah.
Great timing. Great call. Mm-hmm. Let's do another one. This is Dana from Elkins Park. Dana's got a recommendation for us. Dana, you're on Studio 2. What should we be watching?
You have to watch Three Women on Stars. This show has changed me. I mean, I have found myself laughing, also introspectively looking at myself as a woman, and then also looking at myself as a woman who has not bared any children and seeing what one of the characters, Celine Woodley, went through trying to carry a child and the relationship between her and her mother, as well as Blair Underwood and DeWanda Wise. Those characters really make you look at how life is within a marriage and trying to please the husband or the wife. So I really, really, really love this show, and I recommend everyone, not just women, but men as well, to watch the show. It has changed me, shift something in me, and made me look at myself and how I relate to other women and their issues and understanding why they go through some of the things that they have gone through.
Wow. Thank you so much. Dana from Elkins Park.
So it's called Three Women.
On Stars.
It's on Stars. And I'll be honest, I don't know anything about this show. Can someone fill me in? Maybe Melanie?
I have not seen this. Melanie?
Yes, I can absolutely fill you in. And I wholeheartedly second that. It's a TV series that went through its own kind of development difficulty. It was supposed to be on Showtime initially, then it dropped it, and now it's on Stars. So it's based on a 2019 book by Lisa Tadeo. And what Tadeo did was she traveled to find these stories of women, and she went to three different parts of the country. One of them, I believe, is in North Dakota. And then the character, DeWanda Wise's character that the caller is talking about, she is on the East Coast. And then there's a woman played by Betty Bilkin's character who is in the Midwest. And all of them are going through different aspects of their lives, in terms of one of them is younger and dealing, you know, coming to terms with a relationship that she had with a teacher when she was in high school. One of them is in a marriage where she isn't satisfied, so she makes some decisions from there. That's Betty Gilpin's character. That performance is stunning.
Wow.
So it is an amazing, and it's beautifully shot. And Shailene Woodley's character actually plays a fictionalized version of Lisa Tadeo named Gia.
Wow.
So all of those are wonderful.
Yeah, we're getting close to wrapping up. So, you know, I wanted to shout out the show that I like, Tracker, starring Justin Hartley from This Is Us. We won't be able to play the clip, but there's so much out here, Melanie, with streaming and broadcast. We only have about a minute left, but if you could tell us, what is your advice for folks who are trying to figure out how to sift through so many shows? Because sometimes it feels like there's nothing on because there's so much on.
Mm-hmm. I mean, my advice is, especially, it depends if you're looking for comfort, just kind of go with your, you know, old standby. Someone was mentioning Sex and the City. Mine was, mine is Bob's Burgers. But I will say, to, you know, give a plug to my fellow critics, one of the reasons we're there is to help you to find something.
You like, check out my stories.
So consult your critics and they can tell you. And I will give a shout out, by the way, to my comfort watch right now that not many people are watching, which is Somebody Somewhere. If you're looking for a beautiful show.
HBO, right?
On HBO, and it's also streaming on Max. Very easy to watch, very easy to binge.
Starring Bridget Everett, set in Manhattan, Kansas, and it does seem very heartfelt. I'm interested in that one as well. Let me thank you, Melanie McFarland, senior critic at Salon, for joining us this hour. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much.
And let's just shout out a few more. Mm-hmm. Jenny loves Sex Education. Andrea Suits. Alexis says, I'm always super late to the party. I just started watching Modern Family. Dave Hacks, Marilyn Baby Fever, and many, many more. Now, let's get to our Studio 2 DJ of the day. We got a bunch of suggestions for TV theme songs, including Hawaii Five-O from Daniel, Star Trek and Taxi from Kevin in Hellertown. In the spirit of today's holiday, our Studio 2 DJ today is Janice, who suggested the theme from The Munsters. Of course, it's Halloween. It's a TV Halloween crossover suggestion.
I love that crossover.
Janice.
That was good.
And shout out to Chip and Nick, who cleverly brought up the band TV on the Radio, because that's what we're doing right now. So that was a nice meta suggestion from Chip and Nick. That does it for us this week, Chip.
Yes. Thank you so much to our producers, Debbie Builder, Paige Murray Besser, and Andreas Cope. Charlie Kyer engineered today's show. Our producer, Al Banks. Thanks, Al, for engineering today's show. Our executive producer is Kevin McCrory. Joan Isabella is WHYY's audio general manager. From Studio 2 at WHYY in Philly, I'm Cherry Gray.
And I'm Al Banks. We'll talk to you next week.
Happy Halloween!